I praise God for this opportunity to be here with you during this sunset gospel hour. And I'm particularly thankful to the Lord for giving me this opportunity to meditate upon His Word together with you on the topic of coming together as a thankful people. As you know, this is one of the titles of our hymns, one of the hymns that we have in our hymnal. Come, ye thankful people. And I think we're going to sing it after this message. Now, this particular hymn was written by Henry Alford, who lived in the 1800s. And he published a book called Hymns, Psalms and Hymns in 1844. And in that book, this song was found. Alford was a very devout young man. From a young age, he came to know the Lord. And he gave his life unconditionally to the Lord's glory. It is said that at the age of 16, he wrote the following in his Bible. I do this day in the presence of God and my own soul renew my covenant with God and solemnly determine henceforth to become His and to do His work as far as in me lies. Now that is from a 16-year-old boy. Well, when I thought about the words of those amazing statements about one's devotion to God, I was thinking that this young man actually captured in his heart what it takes to be a joyful servant of God. And there is no doubt whatsoever in those words that he has written in his own Bible. In other words, he was a man who was thankful to the redemption that God has given to him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that there will be no better service or no better profession in life than serving his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he made a solemn covenant with his God. So he says, my covenant with God is that I will live as his and do his work as far as in me lies. And he became a minister of the gospel, and he was not only a great preacher, but also an amazing writer. He was a scholar in that he has published many poetical works. At least I have come across four of his writings, which were found in one of those internet websites. And of course, I didn't have the time to go through all that, but I realized by looking at a few of his poems that he was a man of great piety before the Lord. He was a devout young man. And of course, he grew before the Lord as a very efficient preacher of God's word. Now, nothing much is found in my research to the background of the writing of this hymn. But there is one outstanding thought which is reflected in the title of the hymn. That is, Come, Ye Thankful People. When I meditated on the theme in the light of the scripture, the Lord has led me to Psalm 100, which we read a while ago. So let's go to Psalm 100, where we have the biblical or scriptural invitation to be thankful people. And not only that it also invites us to come together as thankful people. So let's look at Psalm 100. It says in the first two verses, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Every call that you find in those two verses is an invitation to God's people everywhere in the world to rise up to praise God. If you look into verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." It was not only a call made to the Jews, God's own people, but from among the Jews, the call has gone to the uttermost part of the world to rise up. Now, of course, this cannot be seen without seeing it through the prophetical, messianic prophecies that we have in the scriptures. In other words, the ends of the world are going to come to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we have those covenantal promises from the book of Genesis. God said to Abraham, "In thee all nations shall be blessed." In other words, through the seed of Abraham, which is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, God will bless the nations with salvation. And that anticipation of salvation being administered to the ends of the earth and people coming from all lands is seen here. There was this anticipation of people rising from every corner of the world to sing praises to the Almighty God. Make joyful noise unto the Lord. That's a command, isn't it? Now, we know that the Lord's call is an irresistible expression of His grace toward us. When the Lord gives us that gracious call, the elect of God cannot reject it. They quickly yield to it with faith. Blessed be His name that He calls us that way. Because if it is left to our own, we would reject. Because we are a fallen race. We are a rebellious people. We thank God for such gospel invitations, which leaves no room for us to reject it. But to the elect, it is a powerful drawing to God. And here is one. And I'm sure if you are truly saved by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the most happiest moment, because you are being called by God. Come on, rise up, make a joyful noise. Now that expression, joyful noise, is found several times in the book of Psalms. It is not a cacophony of voices, people shouting and screaming, but clear expression of thanksgiving from the heart. Joyfully praising God. Joy definitely comes from a heart that understands the blessings. Joy is the response of our hearts to the blessings of God. It is not madness. It is not the voice of those who have lost their mind screaming, but this is a response of thankful people. Now, we will see that later when David explains what would motivate us to give thanks to God. But just take note of this. God's call to salvation is that we may rise to praise Him, that we may rush to praise the Lord. And everyone who is called to be saved is under that injunction, that divine command, come and worship the Lord. And let's once again read those two verses. Let me read for you. pay attention. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. All ye lands. That's why we continue to send missionaries around the world. That's why we pray and support mission work around the world. Because it is the blessed anticipation of the Scripture. And therefore it has been the blessed anticipation of all His saints throughout the ages, that people will rise up from every corner of the world to praise the Lord. Of course, the saints of God, such as David who wrote this psalm, did not know from what countries and what islands people would rise up. But they believed, because God did promise in the Old Testament of a Messiah, the seed of Abraham, the seed of David, to bless the nations and bring them to the worship of God. You know, such expressions are seen all throughout the Bible, and especially the book of Psalms. Let me just show you another one which comes to my mind at this point of time. Psalm 67. Let's make a quick reference to Psalm 67, please. Let me read some of the verses, beginning with verse 1. God be merciful unto us and bless us. Now, why is this prayer to bless us? Well, when you go down to verse 2, that thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. You can see that the reason why believing true saints of God of ancient times prayed such prayers, Lord bless me or bless us, thy people. The reason is not just to accumulate things for themselves. But the reason was that when God blessed them with redemption and all the accompanying blessings, they may become a channel of salvation unto the nations. That they may bring the gospel to the ends of the earth. Now, in the same way, we can ask this question. Why do we pray that God would bless us? When we come together to bless the glorious name of our Savior, why do we bless Him? Why do we seek His blessing? It is for this purpose, that we may become instruments in God's hand to call the nations to rise up to praise God. Today, you and I exist as God's people, or we together exist as God's church in this land, that the voice of the gospel may go to the uttermost part of the world. Let's don't forget that. So even as this wonderful hymn says, come ye thankful people. Now it's a call to all the nations to look unto the Savior and praise Him. In fact, if you carefully read through the lyrics, which I do not want to do at this time. Later on, you will have the time to do it when we sing that song. When you carefully sing through that hymn, you will find out there is great anticipation for God's people to come together from all the nations to praise the Lord. The hymn writer would say things such as, bring the harvest home. Bring the harvest home. It's not about, you know, the agricultural fruit that he's talking about, but he's talking about the soul harvest. That God's servants may bring the souls of people from around the corners of the world to the presence of God. We don't want to go to the presence of God empty-handed. We want to go to the presence of the Lord with many souls that we have won by the grace of God through the preaching of the gospel. But you know, just because people say, praise the Lord is not going to be pleased. He only wants to hear it from the lips of the saved. The unregenerated or the unrepentant has no right to take the name of the Lord and bless it. That privilege is given only to the saved. If our praise, if our worship has to be acceptable, we have to be a redeemed people, right? We are saved to praise God. We are saved to glorify the Lord. So when we see God's saints, whether it's in the Bible or in our hymnals, when they call us to come together as a thankful people, the very first thing that brings us together is our thankfulness for the great salvation. Once we were alienated from the people of God, we were strangers to the covenants of God. We were Gentiles, lost in the world. But through Jesus Christ, this great gospel is now preached to us. The same gospel that Abraham believed. The same gospel that David believed. The same gospel that John the Baptizer believed. The same gospel the great early Jewish Christians such as Peter and Paul believed is now in our hearts. Because the gospel has been sent to the uttermost part of the world. So this psalm has its fulfillment through the preaching of the gospel. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Yes, Singapore is invited. Malaysia is invited. Indonesia is invited. Australia is invited. Africa as a continent is invited. All ye lands. No land is missed out. Search out, my dear friends. Search out. Study the maps of the world. And see whether there are corners of the world where churches are not established. See whether there are places where there is no invitation to the people of that land to come to worship the Lord. Let's go. It is not only to be preached in the four walls of this church or my church in Gethsemane. This is a call that must be heard in every land. May God move the hearts of some tonight to take this gospel invitation to the furthest corner of the world. This is God's desire. This is God's voice. How wonderful it is to echo His invitation. How wonderful it is that our mouths will be used by God. Our very life will be used by God. And that's why in verse 2 we are told, serve the Lord with what? Gladness. When such an invitation is given out, and then we are called to serve the Lord, to give out that invitation to the world, we must rejoice. This is not a thing that we should trifle with. This duty to echo the voice of the Lord to the furthest lands of this globe is to be accepted happily by His people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Yes, you must serve the Lord in this church. You must serve the Lord in your homes. You must serve the Lord in your workplaces. Wherever you are, you must serve the Lord with gladness. But here in the context, this is an invitation to the rest of the world. And we have to be a happy people in our mission work. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That from every corner, Jesus' name may be praised and magnified. Again, he says, come before His presence with singing. Oh, what a beautiful gift it is to sing and to sing the praise of our Savior. What a beautiful gift it is to sing. Singing, melodious singing. How nice. But how the world has abused that gift of God. God is the giver of music. If you study that carefully from the Bible, God is the one who created beautiful angels who can sing melodiously. The Lord is the one who put song in our mouth, even in the wee hours of the night, to praise Him. All these are things that we read. The Bible has many poetical books, including the book of Psalms and Job. There are many little poems here and there. It is for Christians to sing. Now, dear friends, we must come before the Lord with singing. Because singing is God-appointed means to praise God. In every believing heart, there is this great excitement to praise the Lord. So when we come to church, we rush into the church to open our mouth and fill it with the glory of God and the praise of God and express it through music. Oh, how nice are the sounds of the piano and organ when they start playing the introduction to the hymn. Oh, it stirs our heart. Get ready, people. Let's break forth in praise of great God whom we worship. You know, don't think that the introduction is the normal thing in every BP church. It is not just that. It is a call to get you to focus on the things that we are going to together say in our songs for the praise of our God. Singing. How wonderful it is. It's the expression of every redeemed soul to God. So come to God with singing. Now I also want you to quickly look at verse 4. I will come back to verse 3 later. Now look at verse 4. The same truth is expressed with different terms. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, when you come to the worship of God, please remember this. We are entering His gates. We are coming to the presence of God. You may be on this earth. You may be in Pandan Gardens in this auditorium. But when people come to worship, they are entering the very presence of God. Enter His gates. And there is only one way you can come before God: with thanksgiving. Unthankful people has no place in His presence. Please leave. Please leave. The presence of God is for His glory. If you have ever read the wonderful records in the scripture of people like Isaiah, who saw heavens open and had that great blessing of having a view of what's going on surrounding the throne, it was amazing. Cherubims flying around, praising God. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And when we read through the book of Revelation, for instance, when John saw what is to come, when God will gather us in Christ to His own praise at the coming of Christ, it's all worship. They are worshiping the Lamb of God, praising Him, glorifying Him. So you see, if you are coming to the presence of God, better come with thanksgiving. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Now I want to emphasize the words thanksgiving and praise. You know, it's one thing to be thankful people, but it is a different thing to be thanksgiving people. A lot of people are thankful, but they refuse to give thanks. And that's not very good, right? Okay, there are a lot of mothers here, I suppose. I can see many mothers here. And your children come to the table, eat the breakfast, and then walk off day after day, week after week, month after month, You work hard to fix the meal, but they say nothing to you. How would you feel? And most of the time, what I observe is that in many homes, not in all homes, I admit, thank God for well-behaved children in some homes, but in many homes, you know, it's what the mothers get is just complain. I don't like this bread. You toasted it too much. Black already. Don't want. It tastes, I don't like. It's the same thing as last week. Can you fix something else? The poor mother. But when a child comes around and says, Mom, thank you. Well, son, that was not the best of breakfast I prepared. Was it okay? It's okay, Mom. I'm all right. Thank you very much. And that's different. Oh, some children's attitude is, of course I'm thankful. If I'm not thankful, I wouldn't eat. You know? The reason why I come back for breakfast is because I like my mom's food. I don't have to say it's understood. Now, please, don't go around and say understood. Show it. Say thank you. Thankfulness must lead to thanksgiving. We have to be thankful in our heart, but it has to be expressed. So that's why we are told, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. In fact, the hymn, though its title says, Come Ye Thankful People, doesn't end there. The rest of the lines of that hymn will teach you, come to give thanks to God. Your heart must express. You know, when you come to the church, when you listen to the messages, for instance, how to give thanks? You're not singing. How to praise God when you're listening to a message? You say that in your heart. The Lord can hear it. You raise your thanksgiving to the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you for the promise. Thank you for the rebuke. Oh, now I know where I've gone wrong. Thank you that you didn't let me go down my sinful ways and perish. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's really a different thing to preach to a thankful people who give thanks to God. It's a miserable thing to preach to a people who are always critiquing, always unhappy, and always trying to find fault. It's altogether a different thing to preach to a thankful people. Now, I'm not saying you should accept whatever being preached. Of course, if it is wrong, you shouldn't accept. And you shouldn't give thanks to God for that wrong message of falsehood that is preached. But sometimes you have wonderful preachers who expound God's word and apply with such power into the conscience of the people. And when they get pricked, instead of thanking God for the work of conviction, they turn against the preacher and walk out. Now that is not a thanksgiving worship. All of us must be very thankful and also thanksgiving. In his presence, it has to be a thanksgiving attitude. Whether we sing, whether we pray, whether we hear the word of God, or later on when we fellowship with one another, our hearts must be filled with thanks, and we must give thanks to God as well. So enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. So every thankful people had to express thanks to God. Now, what are the things that causes us to be so thankful and thanksgiving? Now we will look at the two verses that are left, verses 3 and 5. In verse 3 he says, Know ye that the Lord, he is good. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. Now, you see, my dear friends, what makes our hearts thankful to the Lord is this knowledge, this perfect understanding that God grants to us, that the Lord is God. The Lord is not a mythical creature. The Lord is not at another idol. The Lord is not just another great human philosopher. The Lord is God. And that makes me worship Him with thanksgiving. And you must know this truth. When you come to His presence, know it with certainty that He is God. There is none beside Him. There is none like Him. He is the everlasting, immortal, invisible God. He is the beginning of all things. We exist as we are because He is God. We are here because His sovereign purposes are fulfilled with perfect accuracy. He controls, He guides, He leads, He provides, He protects, He leads us home. And we trust Him because He's God. He cannot fail. He's faithful. He's true. He's holy. He's just. He's gracious. He's full of pardon. The Lord, He is God. And we know that. So we bow our heads before Him. More than that, that great divinity of the Lord is further explained in verse 3 when it says, "It is He that hath made us." He is our Creator. And then the psalmist adds, "And not we ourselves." A lot of people today think we make ourselves. We make our future. We hear such messages here and there, now and then. We make our future. Yes, I don't disagree with the thinking that we have to work hard, diligently. But you and I have no power to hold our future as we wish. Only the Lord. God is the maker. God is the sustainer. He is our strength and help. Without Him, we can do nothing. Not ourselves. If the Lord has saved you, remember this. Salvation is of the Lord. He made us His people. If we have attained anything at all in our life, whether it's success in education or success in business, it is of the Lord. It is not of ourselves. We must thank God for our country. Yes, we had some very notable politicians who helped to steer this country. But above them, there is a God who made this country. We must thank Him. The success story of our nation, the success of our church, the success of all that we do cometh from Him, because He is our Creator. He is God. So if you come before God to worship Him and to give Him thanks, remember, acknowledge the Lord as God and your Maker, your Creator. He is all in all to you. Again, the psalmist takes us to another wonderful truth about our God at the end of verse 3. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Now you see, that seals the reason why we are here. We are His people. He made us His. Once we were His enemies, but now we are His people. And God is most pleased to tell all the redeemed that you are my people. I am your God and you are my people. He is happy to declare to us that he is our God. So let's respond by saying, O Lord, our God, thou who hast created us and had great mercy to redeem us, we are thy people. We are a people created and saved and kept for your purpose, your glory. We are thy people and the sheep of his pasture. Now that reminds us of the tenderness with which the Lord attends to us. Like a shepherd, he cares for us. Like a shepherd, he keeps us as a church and as an individual and provides for all the wonderful, provides us with all the wonderful blessings. Like Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. How beautiful are those words. What are the words you have in your mouth to tell the Lord today? If you really acknowledge that the Lord is your God and you are his sheep, what do you have to tell him today? Raise it in your heart to the Lord. Express it when you see those thoughts in the lines of the hymns that you sing. When you see those thoughts in the scripture, bless him. Praise him. Again, he repeats those ideas in verse 5 as he concludes this psalm. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. How beautiful are those statements, my dear friends. The Lord is good. Now that sums up our God's character and contains all the reasons for our praise. The Lord is good. He is good. Well, good means he is holy, he is just, he is righteous, he is faithful. The word good actually encompasses all that God is. The Lord is good. There's no other way you can explain God. God is never evil. He's not the author of evil. He's good. And it also sums up his dealings with us, with his people. He's always good to those who trust him. Yes, that's why we praise him. The arguments for our praise comes from the goodness of God. And so he moves on to say in verse 5, his mercy is everlasting. You see, sometimes people say, oh, God is so stern and cold. Why does he threaten people with judgment? Why does he allow such evil that destroy people and cause sufferings? He's not good, some people say. Actually, if he is not good, we all would have perished long ago. In fact, sometimes when the Lord unleashes his just wrath against this world, whether it's through natural calamities or whatever, I sometimes wonder, why did it take so long for him to unleash this wrath? Because we have been sinning and sinning. The world has been getting from bad to worse. And that people forget to say, Lord, thou art merciful. Don't draw an evil picture of God because you are unwilling to repent. The truth is this, my dear friends. The Lord is good and his mercy is everlasting. It doesn't matter what you think of him. But the truth about God is his mercy is everlasting. It never ceases. It never ceases. You know what? Even when God sits upon His great white throne and judge people without mercy because they have rebelled against Him, there will be a great number of people redeemed up in heaven, praising God for His eternal mercies toward them. When God's wrath is poured upon the unjust, it doesn't cease to be merciful. His mercy will at the same time be glorified by the saints, like you and me, who received it. His mercy never ends. It rolls on and on and on and on for all those who want it, all those who come with a believing heart to receive it. Please, my dear friends, remember, the Lord is very merciful. If you have come to seek Him, if you have any concerns about God's goodness and mercy toward you, now let it all vanish in the light of the truth now. Let all those doubts melt away, because the Lord says He is good and merciful. And He is. Now praise Him for that, even though you can't see how His mercy is at work now because of all the troubles in your life. You can't see how God is being good to you because all the disasters that have plagued you. But just believe what you just heard and go out with thanksgiving and stay in His presence and say, Lord, I know You are good. I know You are just. You have told me You are merciful. So I'm not going to believe that You are evil or unkind because of all my ordeals. I'm in Your presence. You saved my soul, and I'm going to rest in this truth. Now look at the end. This is the truth. And it says like this, His truth endureth to all generations. The truths about God cannot change. His truth is the same, now and forever. Well, the Bible is an evidence that He is never changing. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And the truth of this Bible that we so lovingly cherish, we so thankfully hold in our hands, the truth that God has revealed to us in the pages of this Holy Writ is as fresh as it came to those who first received it. If this psalm that we read was so wonderful in the soul of David, it is as fresh as David received today to you and me. His truth endureth all generations. Rise up, people of God. Come ye thankful. Lift your hearts and praise Him. Doubt not His goodness. Yield your life to the Lord and go out to call the ends of the nations to come and praise His saving name. May the Lord help this church and all of us to be a thankful people who call the ends of the earth to come and bow before our great God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and His name be praised.